Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You know, it's springtime. That's a good time of year. It's time to plant things. It's time to, you know, renew the land.
It is. Renew the land. It's also wreaks havoc on my sinuses, but other than that,
you know,
it's pretty.
I've heard a lot of people say that their sinuses are really bad. Ugh. I feel sorry for all these people that have got all these allergies.
Yeah, it's a monster, I tell you. It seems like it's worse this year than it has been in the past for some reason. I don't know why.
And they say we're in a drought, but we've had rain.
I know.
Lots of rain. and they keep telling people, don't drive in these low areas.
Oh.
You know, you could get swept away.
Jeez, I don't know. It always seems like the weather in the spring is either like either not literally, but hot or cold. It's like extreme one way or extreme the other way. And it seems like it comes and goes like at the flip of a light switch.
And this week we actually had some lows of 45.
Wow.
And yet it was in the 90s last week. I don't understand Texas weather.
I don't either.
I don't think even the weathermen know what to say. I think they just get up there and play with it a little bit and say, well, good luck, folks.
Yeah. If they don't, they should. They just make up some pretty graphics and just move on like nothing happened.
And this week we had a longhorn that was over in front of Target.
What?
Nobody knew where he came from.
Like,
and here's this old longhorn just walking along.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And people started taking pictures. They were posting it on the internet.
Oh.
And everybody says, where did he come from? Nobody knows.
Wow. That's exciting and cool and
it
weird.
It was. Yeah, just longhorn just walking along, minding his own business, didn't bother anybody.
Well, at least he didn't bother anybody. That was good.
That's right. I mean, didn't decide to gore anybody or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was somebody's pet and got out of a fenced area. I don't know. But anyway, he made news, let me tell you that.
Well, did somebody catch him or get him or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
They sent for somebody that had a rope and a trailer, and they got him in it and took him away.
All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure if he was just passing through town.
He might have been. The owners, I'm sure, went and found him.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they probably noticed he was missing.
probably
on the lookout.
That big longhorn, you know, a couple of thousand pounds, well, you know.
Yeah. It's not like you don't miss that for a couple of weeks.
That's right. It's not like calling to see if your dog has been put up or anything like that.
Yeah. I can't find my gerbil. Where did he go?
That's right. And even turtles, they post on turtles.
Oh, geez.
When they lose a turtle, you know, I mean, just it's amazing. I wouldn't even miss a turtle, you know.
No, how would you even know?
That's right, because, you know, they go hide under the bushes anyway.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know what to think.
You could stay there for weeks just camping
right
out. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right. What good stories do you have from this week?
Well, we're bidding on a couple of policies. One of them, if we get it, and we're in the hunt for it, it's got a 48% profit.
Whoa, seriously?
Which is unheard of. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is a great policy, short term, cheap premiums. Everything is a go on it. But we don't know if we'll get it. But if we do, 48% will be the most we've paid in a long, long time.
Wow. I don't remember you ever saying 48%.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, what the most we'd ever paid. And I think maybe once we paid 45 on a policy.
Came close.
But it was close, but it was a one-time deal. And that's been a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So if we get it, it's 48%. Low premium, great policy. I mean, it would be wonderful if we get it. But I don't want to get everybody's hopes up too much till we know.
I know.
And it'll be next week before we'll know.
It's almost like you hate to say it because you don't want to jinx it. Or
that's right. I might jinx it just talking about it. So I probably shouldn't even say a lot about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll pretend that didn't even happen. We'll just pretend that we didn't say that.
And we are bidding on several good policies, not as good as this one, naturally.
Oh, yeah.
But has a good return, a great premium, short term, if we can get them. And, you know, this year, policies are tight. I mean, tight, tight. Everybody's talking about it. There's just not enough available.
Yeah. It's been one of those weird phases. I know at one point, like, and I think it's probably been several years ago, but we would talk about how bidding on policies in first quarter was always difficult because so many other big companies will, I guess, have their huge budget and they'll just get done with it in the first quarter. And then once that's over, you kind of move past it. But it just seems like the whole policy landscape has been so, what's the word? Odd, strange, weird.
It has this year.
Yeah.
It's really been weird because everybody's talking about it. So, you know, nobody has any policies. There's been a couple of $10 million ones floating around.
Ooh.
But they were 60 months and nobody was going to bid on them. Nobody wants them. That's why they're floating. Nobody can afford it.
Wow.
When we saw that it was 60 months, we said, are you out of your mind? I mean, you'd have to be.
They clearly don't know you well because they wouldn't have even sent that if they knew.
They would not. Yeah, if they knew me real well, they'd know that I didn't want anywhere near it. I didn't want to touch it, didn't want to hear about it or anything else. Yeah.
Either that or they were just desperate. They thought they'd give it a shot.
I think they were desperate because nobody has anything. There's nothing out there.
Yeah. It's weird that I know it has nothing to do because there are no such things as cyclical like trends in life settlements. There's not a such a thing about that. But it just seems like it's either hot or a little bit cool, and that's a little bit because mostly it's usually like steady. Okay, there's some policies available. We're going to bid. You get some, you pass some, and it just kind of seems like it's kind of like steady with some minor fluctuations here and there. But this year's been a little bit, I guess, cyclical, to say the least. So,
and we don't know where they are. We people aren't selling their policies right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were, we'd be getting a lot of, you know, usually we get 4 to 5 policies a week, and we're just not seeing it right now.
Wow. It's just, I don't know, it's weird. So it's nice to know, though, that you've got a couple of embers in the fire, and hopefully at least one or several of them will work out. What do you think, maybe next week, or would that be too soon to kind of?
Well, we're hoping for next week.
Okay.
I would really like that.
That would be fantastic. So,
and of course, we've got those 4 policies that are paying out this month. Well, let's say 3 are paying out and the other one will pay in May. So that's a lot of money for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, you know, it's always nice when you get, I guess, when it lines up, when the maturities hit and then there's new ones on the horizon. So it's like, okay, profit in, and then let's reinvest and put it in some other policies that are coming
up. Yeah, because it's like $3.5 million.
Jeez.
So it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Wow. All right. Well, I mean, and that's how I guess life settlements for the most part for your most, oh, what do you say, the most profitable investors you have, that's how they do it. You know, money comes in and then reinvest. It's not just in and out and you're done and policy here and there, and once in a while we'll get in, and it's really the consistency of reinvesting over and over again that makes people the most money.
That's right. When you're consistent, it works.
Yeah. So what else is going on? Is there anything that people need to know about? Any, like, I don't know, conditions, anything in the financial world that
well, you know, a lot of people have done this crypto deal. And now they have lost a lot of money doing it. And so that's kind of scary. Even the president's company, you know, he owns a crypto deal. It has lost a ton of money.
Oh, it has?
And they fired the head of it. because they lost so much. It amounts to billions, I believe.
Oh, I mean, I knew he had the crypto thing going on. I didn't realize that it had not done so well.
Well, it was doing well a few months back, but I think the head of it that was running it made some big mistakes, looks like.
I know crypto is one of those things that you really have to understand to do it, and I don't know that a lot of people really understand how it works, but is it one of those things where maybe the cracks, it's been around long enough, so now the cracks are starting to show, or
Well,
is it?
you need to really be sophisticated and be willing to lose a ton of money. And
Wow.
if you don't have a lot of money, you shouldn't be doing it,
Are
because
there?
it can just leave town, and then you're left holding the bag.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. It seems like in these situations, in these times, especially right now, with as unstable as most things are, it seems like getting into something like that you could potentially, as you say, quote, be prepared to lose a lot of money. I don't know that there's a lot of people that are in a position to want to lose a lot of money. It just seems risky, like beyond the norm in a normal situation, and then you throw the current landscape on top of it just seems almost like silly to
Well,
say.
unless you're in New York City, and you shouldn't be doing it. All us people out here in radio land, we need to stick with proven investments, and us don't get out here on a ledge because you could fall off of it.
In a big time hurry. Are you finding more and more people saying things or having a reaction of, I'm not really confident that we really should be in the stock market as heavily as we were? It's time to do something a little bit more conservative. Are you getting reactions like that, or what do
I have a
you?
lot of people that have switched over because they're getting it to an age, they're 60. They do not want the risk of the stock market. They don't want to think about not having enough to retire on, in 5 years when they get ready or whatever time it is. So if you're either in a life settlement where it's a life insurance policy you're investing in, or an annuity, you shouldn't be doing it. Because, like a life settlement, you're investing in a life insurance policy. You know it will pay off. You know that your money's guaranteed. So that would be my first thought. Do something that's guaranteed, that's a life insurance policy. They've got all the money in the world. You know you'll get your money back.
Yeah, and getting your money back—that's. I'm trying to think of another opportunity for investing where you can actually say that, because there's not many that you protect your principal, and it just seems like nothing that or I guess nothing that happens in the world affects a life settlement because it is a life insurance product, and those are never discounted. They're never. The value of it doesn't change based on something else. It holds its form, it holds its value, and you know exactly what you're in going in, you know exactly what you're in when you come out. It just
Well, and the
seems.
nice thing is you're investing with other people. You don't own the whole policy. You and maybe five other people or six own this policy together. And I like that idea.
Well, that's a good point. I had never, we've never said it like that before. It just, that shines a whole new light on it. It's,
It
yeah.
does.
I mean, I would imagine probably that makes people feel like, hey, I'm not carrying 100% of the quote unquote burden, even though it's not a burden. I don't know how else to phrase it, but they're not shouldering 100% of the investment. It's like shared among other people. That's
That's
neat.
exactly right. And then on top of that, you've got a trustee overseeing it. And everybody should have a trustee when they're in any investment, but most people don't. They're just exposed 100%. But you're not with this. You've got a trustee oversees your money. They keep it safe. And we never touch their money. So that's the great thing about this investment and the safety features.
Wow. That is fantastic. Safety in numbers, I think, is the thing I'm looking for. So yeah, I mean, not only do you have other people in the policy with you, but it is conservative. You know how much it's going to pay out when it pays out. You know about when the policy will mature. It's not an exact thing you can put on the calendar, but the data that comes up with that, the LE, the life expectancy, that has gotten better and better. And so they seem to be able to pinpoint the date a whole lot more accurately than they used to. And so it just seems like if people have not really, I guess, gone into life settlements before, they maybe listened for a long time, maybe they have been thinking about it, maybe they're waiting till they get to the right age, maybe they're waiting till the circumstances are right. Oh, I'm going to sell my business in a couple of years, I'm going to retire in a couple of years, I'm waiting on to see what the market does. It seems like whatever is going on in people's lives and around the world and in the economy, it seems like anytime, especially now, is a good time to get into something like this, just because if everything else was to fail, if you were like in the stock market and it bottoms out, if you're in life settlements at the same time, you do have some kind of a, I don't want to call it a safety net, but a conservative type of investment.
Well, it is a safety net. It is. You're absolutely right. You've got the safety net, but the principal's always there and your interest is there at the end. And it's going to pay out just like it's agreed on.
So if people are waiting for something, they don't have to. It's okay. There's enough going on right now that if you want to, make the move to something conservative, do it. I mean, it's just like there's no time better than the present, I guess. So.
And you don't have the risk factor.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, you're home free.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think when it comes to conservative investments, people maybe, I don't know, they don't really understand it. It's pretty straightforward about how life settlements work. Can you run just kind of quickly in a basic form, top to bottom?
First of all, we get the policy in. We look at the life expectancy. We read it. We look at the medical. Is it short term? Is it stage 4? What kind of cancer it is. We go look at all the facts to see if it's in our ballpark. And if it is, then we're going to bid it. And then if we get it, we're going to send out a notice to the different people and say, here's this policy. This is what it's going to pay. This is what we're going to escrow. Do you want in? And if they do, they send us an email and saying, yes, I want in that policy.
And that's really...
So it's straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more to it. And you're out, like you were saying before, you're out bidding on policies that may come available. So if somebody wants to sell their policy, it comes up. I don't know exactly how it works, but that it's out there and other companies will bid on it. And it's just, it's this couple week long process. And if you're, I guess, lucky enough to be awarded the policy, that's where it is. That's where the policies come from. It's not anybody's going to take anybody's policy or anything like that. It's just the policy holder puts them up for bid and they need that money. So, I mean,
it's so expensive. Cancer is not a cheap medical condition.
Mm-mm.
And when it's $100,000 a month, ooh, you're going to need the cash.
Wow. That's a that's a jarring number.
It is. It's a burden. It really is.
Wow.
So the families need the money and they want to sell it. And now they may not sell it. They'll put it up for bid. If they don't like the bid, they'll keep it. They'll think they're going to get more later. But when it comes back up 6 months later, we're not going to give any more than we were the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of set. You look at their policy. You look at the medical. The medical is really, really important. Is it stage 4? Is there something they've done that's got a cure and they're just looking to get the cash? We're not going for that. We're going to see what the doctors say. Do they say it is terminal? Is it really stage 4? Has it spread to several places? Then we're really interested, especially if it's pancreatic cancer, if it's colon cancer, throat cancer, and breast cancer. those are the best ones, of course.
Yeah, those all are the ones that tend to go pretty quickly. And then once you get the policy, it's literally just, I guess, waiting. And then
that's
when
right.
the policy matures, people get paid because.
And when we know that they have died, then we send out a notice to the people in the policy and say, okay, that policy you were in, so-and-so, it has matured. We will get the death certificate. We will send it to the carrier, and we will let you know as soon as the money is in your account. And that's the way it works.
Yeah. It's literally straightforward. It's that simple. So how do, because I know that, you know, like we're talking about profit margins, and the reason that these are so profitable and so attractive to investors is because you're looking at short-term policies. You're not talking about like the ones that, you know, you see on TV where grandma and grandpa are you know, driving around with the kids and bouncing them on the knee and you know, in an RV traveling the country. Those are not the ones you're buying. You're buying these ones for a specific reason. It's because they're short. And so when they mature, people get paid and then reinvest. Is there, that's pretty much it, all right?
That's it, because going in, it tells us how many months it's going to be. Now, let's say it goes over. We've escrowed a year extra in case it went over. So you've got escrowed for the lifetime. Whatever, if it's 30 months, 26, then we escrow another year to be sure. So if it goes over, you're covered for an extra year.
Yeah. And so I it almost seems like when there's so many different factors that you're looking at for every policy that you do consider bidding on, it's not, yeah, you're looking at, you know, the LE, you're looking at how long is expected until it matures, you're looking at, okay, if it does, what are those premiums that you were talking about? If they get to be too much and it starts eating up the profit, you'll pass on it. Or, you know, it's just there's so many different things. You're looking at, you know, the data, you're looking at, you know, information from doctors and scientists, you're looking at their lifestyle, you're looking at, it's not just bid on anything that comes across your desk. You're pretty particular about the policies you bid on.
We turn down a lot because, like, if it says they've been on vacation for 2 weeks and they're playing golf every day, that person's likely not fixing to die.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great for them. I mean, it's wonderful. But, you know, for those that are looking to sell them, you know, there has to be an outlet, and that's where you come in. So, is there anything, I don't know quite how to ask this, but is there anything that, like, aside from the type in the LE, is there any reason why you would maybe not bid on a policy or throw it away as junk, or it doesn't?
Yeah, there's always something that raises a red flag. Like, if they're not on any cancer treatment, you know, why aren't they? How long has it been, you know? And now maybe it's a return. That's a great deal. If they had cancer, they thought it was gone, and it's come back. When it comes back that second time, you're usually a goner pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. I know you have a ton of data, and I know you read a lot of documents. It's been sometimes hundreds of pages that you look at. For an investor, though, they don't need to look at all of the information. They have a summary, or we used to call it page 14.
Yes. Well, that's right. Well, we send over the life expectancy. Then at the end of it, the doctors have given a brief summary. This is what they've got. This is the cancer treatment they're on. This is how long we think they're going to live. So that's at the bottom of that page. Tells them in a brief synopsis how long they're going to live and what kind of treatment they're on and how, if it is stage four, and how long they've had the cancer. It's all right there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, because I know that investors that have been with you for a number of years, they know that if there's a policy that they can get in on, you've already gone through all of this and they just know this is a good policy. But for maybe a new investor who isn't really well-versed and doesn't have much history of life settlements under their belt, there is data that they can actually see, and they don't have to be a doctor. They don't have to be an expert. They don't have to be, you know, have some kind of a degree in science to understand it. It's in regular speak. They can understand the policy. And if for some reason they have some questions like, what does this mean? Or what do you do with this? Or, you know, something like that, they can always call you and you can always answer those questions, right?
That's right. And if it's a new investor, they may call and say, explain this, go over this, and we will do it. No, not a problem. And remember, we also have the older policies, a few, that they didn't give us as good of information as we get nowadays.
Yeah.
So they have went over, and we're trying to weed those out as quickly as possible. And we have the one policy that, you know, we're all praying for, the Denton policy. We're trying to get that to market. Wow.
Denton is a dirty word in your circle.
It is. It really is. I mean, it's the only one we've ever had that's done this, that's went this far, and it should have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it isn't. And so we're praying for him, but probably not the right way.
Probably not the right way.
Yes, probably not.
I guess it kind of shows that those are some of the early policies before the process was refined, and it just kind of shows how far, I guess, the whole process has come, the data, the information, the interpretation, the process, all of it. It's just come so far from when you first started doing life settlements, and it's just...
That's right, and the policies now, if it says you're going to die a certain time, they do.
Yeah.
As you know, we've had a lot early ones lately, and a lot of them on time, and we're not having those that are dragging.
Yeah, I haven't heard you talk about any policies that have been dragging, aside from those first ones years and years ago. I haven't heard you talk about any policies that have you know, gone way over like that.
Yeah, we're doing good now. They're coming in on time. They're coming in early. You know, this fall, we had two or three that came in a year early.
Oh, wow. A year, that's substantial.
It was. It shocked us.
Yeah. One thing to point out, though, for anybody who is considering doing some kind of a conservative investment like life settlements, when a policy comes in early, say, you know, pretend you have a 24-month policy. It's 1% a month is what it pays. And then if it comes in, say, in 18 months, you still get the full 24, even though it came in early. Just because it came
That's
in at
right.
18 doesn't mean it's discounted.
That's right. Nothing is ever discounted. Whatever we signed up for at the first, when you sign the contract, that's what you're going to get.
Cool.
It doesn't matter when it comes in. If it's a 24-month and we're paying 29 or 30%, you're going to get that if it came due tomorrow. Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have had some that have matured, like, sometimes the ink is still wet. And
we had that one guy, you know, died in 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one. And it was like an 18-month policy or something like that?
I think it was, yes. And he died in 3 months. They called it wrong.
Yeah. In a favorable way for investors. So
that's right.
It does happen sometimes. So, okay. Maybe, I don't know. Life settlements aren't for everybody, I guess.
I know there's
a process for it, and it kind of depends on where people are in their investment career, how close they are to retirement, if they're already retired, that's a factor as well. So if maybe life settlements aren't a good fit, but somebody still wants to do something conservative, what would be another alternative?
Well, an annuity would be perfect for them. Annuities are safe. You can do an IRA. You can do a joint one with your wife. There's so many different ways to do an annuity. They've been around for over 100 years. So you know they're safe by now. They pay well. You can take 10% a year out. Right now you're getting the bonus. That 16% is really important, because if you get that bonus And then whatever it pays its first year is really a great return. And that's averaged over 10% lately. So it's a conservative investment. Anybody can do an annuity. And what I love about annuities, it's tax deferred until you start taking it out. So it's growing faster because you're not paying taxes right now. So and it's compound interest. There's just nothing bad about an annuity.
No,
the main thing is the company you put it with.
Yeah. And the fact that you deal with companies that have been around for forever, it's not some fly by night, you know, here today, gone tomorrow kind of a thing. So that's
it's important. Not small companies. We don't use small companies.
Yeah.
These are like 40 to 60 billion.
Wow.
I mean, you stack up that much money and that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And that's billion with a B, by the way.
That's right. And I love it because you can change beneficiaries. You can put all your grandkids on there as beneficiaries. You can put your children, your wife. I mean, there's just so many ways to do it. And it all works no matter which way you do it.
Yeah.
And I love it because you can take a payout. You can take a lump sum at the end, or you can say, we're going to save this for the children and not take a dime out.
Yeah, there are lots of investors that will go ahead and set up an annuity specifically for, you know, kids, maybe a college fund, maybe, hey, you can't have this or you can't touch it until maybe you're 30, until you get, you know, a little bit older and more mature. They'll set things up for somebody's like a house. Okay, when you're 35 or whatever it is, you're buying a house, then you can get into it. They set it up so they can take a certain amount each month if they wanted to. There's a lot of options when it comes to annuities and what you can do with them.
It's one of the most conservative investments I know because it's in indexes. It's never direct in the stock market, so you don't have the risk of the stock market. But yet indexes pay really well.
Yeah.
And we change them out. Sometimes we leave them. But at the end of each year, we can see what each index has made. And depending on what it's made, is whether we leave it in that or make a change. So nothing is ever written in stone. Your investments can be changed around. And what I love is people that have had them all these years with us, what their returns are. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I know you were given the, and I know we don't like to give too many examples because, you know, privacy issues and all that, but you did mention somebody the other week, and I have not forgotten that, and I don't think I ever will, the lady who had the annuities for, what was it, 20 years?
20 years. She started out with $100,000, and it's still worth $104,000 after 20 years, and it was an IRA. So she had to take money out every year.
Yeah.
And still, it's as if she never started because she still got the same balance she went in with.
It's amazing. And to be able to use it, like actually take some money out, use it, and still have the annuity at or what it was, you know, prior to, like when she bought it, like when she got into it, it's because you would expect, okay, if I'm going to take money out every year, it's just going to start hemorrhaging cash. And before you know it, it's down to zero. But the fact that after 20 years, it's still $100,000 in it is just, I don't know. It's there's something that's really cool. And I don't think cool is not even the right word. It's just, I don't know. It's fascinating, I guess.
And it's a conservative. That's why it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of these deals where it's got all this speculation. There is no speculation in an annuity. It's pretty cut and dried.
Yeah. And it basically, I want to make sure I say this right without scaring anybody. It mirrors the stock market, but you're not in the stock market. So if, say, Wall Street was to pancake on Monday, if you're in annuity, there's a stopgap there, and so you protect your principal. Is that basically correct?
That's exactly right. Your principal's always safe, and it's never direct in the stock market, which makes it a wonderful investment.
Yeah. And you had mentioned also the 16% bonuses. What is that, and how does that work?
Well, the bonus is still there. I don't know how long we keep thinking that they'll catch on and then discontinue it, because it is a good factor for the client. I mean, it's great for the policyholder. So when you go in, let's say you have $100,000, you're going to get that 16% plus whatever it makes this year. And then if you put more money in the second, third year, you get that bonus second and third year. So you've got a chance to really make some solid money in addition to what it's going to make regularly.
So you've got the profit, excuse me, you got the profit, then you've got the bonuses on top of that. And should we mention the compound interest aspect of it?
Yes, it is compound interest. So it does make more than regular. So there's just so many benefits to it.
What type of investor would an annuity be good for in relation to, like, how close they are to retirement, whether it's pre or post-retirement? What would be a good fit for somebody?
Well, somebody that is like 55, 60 years old or older, because they're going to be needing this extra money when they retire. And if they have a bad 2 years on the stock market, this can go right in here and start making your money back. Or let's say you have a profit, a good profit in the stock market. You take it out, you put it in this, you get that bonus, you get your profit every year. And if you don't take but 3 or 4% out, it's going to last you a long, long time, probably longer than you're alive.
So it almost, the way you put it there just a minute ago, it almost sounds like you're taking, so if somebody was in the stock market, they have a good profit, a good return. They take that profit, they put it in an annuity where the bottom won't fall out, it can only grow, and then they safely grow that profit into more profit.
That's right.
Wow.
And and your money is safe. And so you don't have the risk, but yet you've got a good, decent profit.
Yeah. And then I know we always talk about getting ready for retirement, but then after you retire, you've still got the annuity is growing. It's doing its thing. And so you don't really have to worry, oh my gosh, I'm turning 80 next month. Do I have to go back to work because I've lost everything in the stock market? You don't have to worry about that with an annuity.
Well, and I told you about this couple in New Braunfels that called the other day. Now, they've had money with us for years and years. And this is his second wife. So she really has no part in it. But she called to say, what did I recommend for him? And he's 89. I said, stay the course. Stay the course. I said, you can't take it out now at 89. You know, you've got to leave it in there, because we can't put him in anything else.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at 89, nobody would allow it.
No. It's like, you're in, stay in. Don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, because I figure he's not going to live too much longer, and the kids are going to get it, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, no, I wouldn't recommend any changes this year. I said, in fact, you can't reinvest somebody at that age.
Yeah.
Nobody would take him.
No, not at 89 for sure.
No.
So there's whichever route people go, whether it's annuities or life settlements, we're talking about both of these opportunities are conservative. They have nice profit margins. They're set up to grow people's money. And no matter what the circumstances, you don't have to worry about the bottom falling out. You don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, am I going to lose everything? It's a nice way to not only prepare for retirement, but once you get there and you're in retirement, to not just start hemorrhaging cash. You're still growing money. You still have access to money you can not only use, but still leave some of it in there to grow. So it's just a win-win no matter where people are. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, we're going to talk about Seminole, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah. It's an unusual story. The land for the Seminoles was donated by non-resident landowners, and it became the county seat for Gaines County. And in 1906, the first couple moved in. It was W.B. Austin and his wife, Emma. They moved their general store there. And during this time, they had several post offices in Seminole, Texas, which I don't understand it. And then they started making banks. So First State Bank, it was in 1907. Then in 1912, Seminole National Bank lost over 3,000. It was robbed.
Whoa.
And so then in 1914, the two banks merged to form First State Bank. In 1950, their population surpassed Seagraves, Texas. And then it's unusual where the people came from in Seminole, Texas. These Russian Mennonites, they were Germans, Flemish, and Preston. They were living in Russian Empire in the 19th century, and they migrated first to Canada. Then they went to Mexico. Then in 1977, 100 families from Mexico bought land southwest of Seminole. They were going to settle there. But remember, they're not Americans. They faced difficulties with immigration. Then in 1980, Jimmy Carter was president. And so he signed legislation telling these first 100 families of German Mennonites they could have full citizenship in the United States.
Really?
Yeah. And these people, in 2015, 6,000 of them moved to Seminole. 6,000.
Wow.
In a small town. Can you imagine?
That's a lot.
And these were Russian Mennonites, which I didn't even know that we had all these Russians come here from all those different countries.
I had no idea. That's news.
And interesting things. Mary Ann Allinger was a world champion boxer. She was born in Seminole. Andrew Alvarez, he was a professional bull rider. He was born in Seminole. And,
of course,
you know, Larry Gatlin, country and gospel music artist, he was born in Seminole, even though he was raised in Odessa.
Now, I didn't know he was born in Seminole. I did not know that.
Oh, yes. Him and his brothers were all born there. And then Chris Ogden, an American college basketball coach, former player at Texas, he was born in Seminole.
Really?
But the interesting thing to me is all these Mennonites, these Russians, moved there, you know, and they were from Russia and all these other Russian countries, and they first immigrated to Canada. So I don't know what made them come this way and go to Mexico instead of, you know, stopping here and thinking maybe they could, you know, buy land here. But they must have had money because they came back here, you know, and bought land before they figured out if they could become American citizens.
That's almost putting the cart before the horse.
It was. I mean, 100 people bought land, and how are they going to exist if they don't let them live here?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the land, and they, like you say, it was a cart before the horse because they didn't even know if they could become citizens. And finally, Jimmy Carter gave them full citizenship in 1980.
Maybe it's just an exercise in faith.
It must have been on faith because they didn't have anything else going.
Yeah, they had nothing.
That's right. And all these Russians, and I don't even know if they spoke English.
Oh, I didn't think
of
that.
In every time. Oh, yeah, because remember, these are Russian-speaking people.
Wow. There's a little twist.
Yeah, and first they go to Canada, and I don't know if it didn't work out. Maybe they wouldn't let them become citizens there. I don't know. And of course, it's a lot colder in Canada, and they speak Canadian. You know, they don't. A lot of them don't speak English there.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was a different language there. Then they went to Mexico, and they're speaking Spanish down there. So I'm wondering how this worked out.
They're multilingual.
By this time, they should know three languages at least.
Yeah, they'd help us have to. I just can't quite believe that they had several post offices.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that either. I'm going, why would he need several post offices? Yeah. And then they started with banks. Then, of course, the Russians came. And I don't know how that worked out, explaining to them everything in English. Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, when you said that first, I didn't even think about that. That didn't even cross my mind. But it's, now that you pointed it out, it's like, oh, yeah, well, duh.
Yeah, I mean, how did they communicate when they moved to Texas without any, I mean, who sold them the land?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine 100 families?
Yeah.
So, it didn't tell how many acres they bought.
No. I mean, they're not even citizens, and they're just buying up land. I mean, can you do that? Can you do that? Like, is that a thing?
I doubt if you could nowadays.
Well,
you're not a citizen of a country, how are you going to buy land or homes in their country?
Yeah. Maybe the laws and the rules were different back then. For some reason.
I think they came on faith.
Clearly.
I mean, you know, and here their kids are going to go to school and all this. I can just see it. Teachers were pulling their hair out. I mean, they didn't speak our language, but I don't know what they did for a living. I'm really curious.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't citizens, but they were operating a business, or they bought land and became farmers.
That could be. I didn't think about farming.
Yeah. Well, that's something you wouldn't have to know too much about the language.
Well, that's true. Although, you would have to know about the land, because the land is different than it is up north. Or, let's see, I'm thinking, I mean,
we don't know, what did they do with the land they had in Mexico?
That's true also. So, there's a lot of questions here. I'd like to ask some people, but I have a feeling the more questions we ask and the more answers we get, the more questions we'll have from that. So we could be digging a hole here.
Well, the only other thing is if we checked with the courthouse in Austin, you know, the state capital, they could probably tell us. I imagine they have records of going back and could tell us the whole story.
I bet they could. I bet they could. It's very interesting, though, and the fact that we have, again, more people who were born in another city or another small town in Texas who went on to do, you know, big things. It's just...
Yes, they did. And I imagine they became very wealthy because they obviously were ingenious about what they were doing, you know, like buying land. I mean, you just go down there and buy land and say, well, we're going to do this or that. And they brought their families here.
Yeah. And didn't worry about, hey, I'll go check it out. And then if it works out well, then I'll come back and get you.
That's what I would have said. You know, we've moved around quite a bit from country to country here.
But it's kind of cool. That's where they decided to, I guess, settle down and put down roots. So...
And I would say these Russians probably taught the people down there about their food and created some food deals here in Texas.
That's true. We do have a lot of cultural culinary influences, I think.
I think we do, too.
Yeah. A lot of it's regionalized, but I know that, you know, we've got a section for German food. I know we've got a section for, like, French food, I think. There's all kinds of different influences, you know, in different parts of the state. So it's just one of those things that kind of makes us, I guess, more interesting than other places. So
yeah, we're very diversified.
We are. Yeah. Diversify. Again, that's your word. That's your theme word right there is diversification. It applies
that's
to
right.
everything.
It does.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Since we opened the door of diversification, when you say that people should be diversified, obviously you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, but does that mean being in a number of policies at the same time or
yes.
doing both life settlements and annuities? Or what do you recommend for diversifying?
Depending on your age, you could have both. You know, you could have the annuities for longer term for when you retire, start it now. The life settlement is, you know, for people that are under 70 usually.
Mm, okay.
You know, like if you're 55, 65, it's perfect. And you can get that interest going now. If you're slowing down, doing all this other, I think annuities are the answer.
All right. So if somebody was, say, I don't know, in their 40s or 50s, if they wanted to do both life settlements and annuities, that would be perfectly cool? That would be beneficial?
Yes, it'd be perfectly cool.
Okay.
It depends, you know, what you're doing in life. If you're really, really active, a life settlement, because remember, you've got to read the information. You've got to make this decision. Lots of times people trust us. And they just say, yes, Faye, we'll do it. But if you're older, it might be harder to do that, you know, to read all up about it and to make a decision. So usually under 70 for life, that. And then the annuities, you know, no matter how old you are, it's easy. You don't even have to pay attention.
Okay. So it's pretty much on autopilot for annuities. They just kind of like do their thing and you can almost put it on a calendar. On this date is when I can take it out. And on this date, you know, so it's much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Consistent or?
It's almost robot.
A robot. Okay.
Because
yeah.
You're going to get paid at the end of the year, no matter what. And it's credited to your annuity. You don't have to do a thing.
Okay. For life settlements, people do need to be accredited. What does that mean?
First of all, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. You must be accredited to do that. Now, there's two risks. The first risk would be if it goes over the premium. So you need to always know what the premium is going in. And we always tell you, we put it in writing. Like if it's 1%, we're going to tell you. If it's 0.5%, we'll tell you. And then the other thing is you cannot take any money out until it matures.
Okay.
So that's that simple.
For annuities, you don't have to be accredited. Is there any kind of a pre-qualification? Something?
It's a small one. It's not like a life settlement. In other words, you have to have money in the bank. You must have savings. They want to make sure that you've got enough money every month to cover your living expenses. Other than that, it's probably okay. They don't want you to put every dime you've got into an annuity. You've got to still have money at home, okay?
Okay. What about annuity risks? Are there, do
there
they
really
exist?
Isn't any. It's in a life insurance policy. You know, it's safe. They have the money to pay you at any time. So there's just not any great risk like the stock market or other investments.
Okay. And just to kind of recap at the beginning, the policies that you are bidding on, we may know by next weekend, do you think?
I'm hoping that we'll have a decision on those.
Okay. All right. All right. So one last time, Faye, if anybody wants to get in, if they want to get more information, if they feel comfortable and they're like, you know, I know enough. I've done enough risky business in my life. It's time to get conservative. Let's move forward. They do need to make a call and come talk to you. So one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.